Fifth bidding today is on the crucifixion of Jesus. Now I want to diverge just a little bit from where we are, and I want to look at the crucifixion a little differently this afternoon. I want to consider it in the light of what was happening in the minds of the disciples. Where were they at this moment? Because we look at it most of the time theologically. We look at it in the perception of hindsight. We see it all clearly now. And mainly we see that because we know what's going to happen on Sunday, right? But let me just read to you and prove to you and drive this home to you that this is not at all what the disciples were thinking. Not at all. You're thinking that something good's going to happen on Sunday? That's not what they thought. That is not what they thought. This was real. This was their friend, their brother. Let me prove it to you. Sorry. So Mary has found the tomb empty and has run back to tell Peter and John, because they were hiding for fear of the Jews. And they're standing in the tomb. And this is what they say. This is what Scripture tells us, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They still didn't get it. They were wondering who took his body. That's what they were thinking. They weren't thinking he was raised again. So I want to ask a question right up front. And I want us to think in terms of the reality of the cross. You see this? It was God, but this was a man, just like me, just like you, that had to endure the crucifixion. It was the plan. And I believe in no uncertain terms that when Jesus said, and he left Galilee, it's time to go to Jerusalem, he was committed. He committed then. Because he saw his friend John the Baptist killed for a lot less. And when he was going to go to Jerusalem and preach the kingdom of God is at hand, somebody's not going to like that. And those were the religious leaders of the day. The Sanhedrin ran the temple. As you know, the Sanhedrin is the Sadducees. The Sadducees were running the temple at the time. And the reason they're sad, you see, is because they didn't believe in the resurrection. That was from Canon Rick from all those years ago. But the great question of this day has to do with more with failure than achievement. Because the cross, the moment of crucifixion, was failure. Make no uncertain terms about this. The disciples had left him. John says in his gospel that he stayed and that he received Jesus' mother, Mary. But I suspect that immediately after that happened, he ran. Because Jesus was very clear in the three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that they were going to disperse. None of you will be with me. So he may have been there for a short time, but believe me, John didn't want to be where Jesus was, and neither would you. So the question is, in this life, what great dreams have you failed to achieve? What accomplishments have you given up on? What desires in your heart have you said they'll never be achieved? You see, for the disciples, this was the question of the day. You see, they had left everything and followed a man, Jesus, who taught about the kingdom of God, right? Jesus came, Jesus, God sent him to, God sent Jesus to establish the kingdom. And now the kingdom is crucified, dying on the cross, the promise, the hope, the dream is dead, is about to die. There really wasn't much coming down from this. They were very aware of what happens to people who are crucified. In fact, this is so not typical of crucifixion. Because typically, the person's hung up there and really left there for days and days. And then the stories are even more horrendous after they're beaten and left up there. You know, the crows come, pluck their eyes out. The dogs come, chew their toes off. Just all kinds of horrible things happen. This isn't pleasant. But the question in those disciples' minds is, what in the world about, what's going to happen to us? What about our dream? What about the kingdom of God? What about all that he's taught us? We're perplexed. We're lost. We've been left alone. Our leader is dying on the cross. This is absolute failure. It doesn't get any worse than this. So I just need to tell you a story about something that happened to me a number of years ago, and it's not even the same, but when I had gone to college in Texas, I'd always dreamed about, and I'm sorry, when I was a little boy, I had discovered that my grandfather had bought some property on St. John's River out in Switzerland, and it was this beautiful, magnificent property. I think it was 15 acres. It may have been seven. I can't remember. It was 300 feet on the frontage and opened up. It wasn't pie shaped, but it went back about 1500 feet. And I'd walked that property a number of times, huge, magnificent oak trees on it. And ever since I was a little boy, I dreamed about this house on the very back of the property. Still have it in my mind's eye. And, I dreamed about this house and dreamed about this property for years, and I think it was maybe one of the underlying reasons why I moved back to Jacksonville. It wasn't the reason, but it could have been something that also motivated me, because I had dreamed about building a house on that property. It's a beautiful property. And I remember I was working at Ryan's Steakhouse, managing the one, Eddie used to call it, that little booger up on Merrill Road. It was tough to make money in that one. And I remember my mom came in one day, and we were having lunch, and she looked at me and she said, "Your aunt and I sold the property." And I said, "You did what? You didn't sell it, did you? You're gonna sell it?" "No, we sold the property." I cried for 15 minutes. The dream was gone. Something that I dreamed about and hoped for and believed that one day I would build a house on my granddaddy's property on the St. John's River in Switzerland. It was a dream I had. It was a heart kind of thing, you know. It was an inheritance. And it was gone. Just like that. Had no idea. I was heartbroken. Still a little heartbroken about it, but I'm over it. But it's something that when the dream is gone, it's over. It hurts. So we have to ask ourselves, what have we failed to achieve? You see, for the apostles, the kingdom wasn't going to come now. The dream was over. It's over. In fact, I got to run for my life. I don't want to end up like him. I loved him, but I don't want to end up that way. I don't want to die on a cross. I don't want that. I just want to go back to Galilee, hang out with my friends, get back to fishing. That's what was going on today. The church has turned this into Good Friday. There was nothing good about this Friday. Nothing good. The world in those remaining disciples' eyes was over. The dream was dead. So he calls out to us, and this says, what dreams have you put your faith in? What things have you dreamed? What ideas have you had that have died? We've all had them. Maybe it's in relationships. Maybe it's in our friendships. Maybe it's in our careers. Our careers haven't blossomed the way we thought they would. Maybe it's in the grades we make. I'm going to make straight A's, and you made B's and C's. Maybe it's in, it could be in all kinds of things. It could be in addictions. Maybe you've tried to overcome addictions over and over, and it seems like I fail every time. This is just how the disciples were feeling. Failure. That's what the cross represented to them on this day. We can look at it much differently, but they didn't. I've had other failures. I had a laundry business that I one day was going to be a great laundry magnate here in Jacksonville. Didn't work out too good, although I did sell that one. I had a tremendous restaurant. Some of you came and visited me, called Blazer's Grill. I had great dreams for that place. I had employees that had great dreams. You can imagine the horror in my mind when I had to tell them we had to close. And not next week, tonight will be our last night. And I hope I can pay you. We did, but what I'm asking is, the story of Jesus' death reminds us that our dreams also can be transcendent. That some of the things in our own lives that we've dreamed about and hoped for and planned on, even though they die, they can be transcended. Through another time in our life, when we're reborn, when we're reinvigorated, when we recommit. The disciples at this time, they couldn't recommit, but they did and they will. In about 42 days, 43 days, they'll be on fire again. But they're not now. They're not today. Today is a sad day, a time of reflection. What in the world are we going to do? The kingdom's not coming. Jesus has failed on his mission. He died in isolation, died by himself. So often our dreams die that way. No friends to support us. Our friends abandon us. It happens. It happens to all of us. It happens to most of us if we get to be of any age where time runs out on some things. Some of our greatest dreams. And if you've never failed in anything, you haven't dreamed big dreams. And I would suggest to you that today or Sunday, I'd get started. Because God wants to do great things with us. I'll remind you of one tremendous failure that we've all engaged in and been a part of. And it was a dream for the Church of the Messiah. And I can tell you, in this transcendency, that we dreamed big dreams. We cannot be afraid to dream big dreams again as a church. We cannot be afraid of that. We can't fear it. We got to get back and dream big dreams. Because we serve a big God. Oh, by the way, He's the creator of heaven and earth. Hello? Anybody home? We know the end of the story, but today's just the beginning. It really is. It's really time to contemplate. Where have we failed? Where have we given up? Where have we let dreams die? Sunday, let's resurrect them. Let's believe again. Let's believe in what God can do through each and every one of us. Call you to it.
Amen.